Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by Mr. Vin Forte.
Hey.
How are you?
I am good. What's going on? What is up, as the kids say?
Is that what the kids say?
Yeah, they're all going, they're like, what up, dog?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what's up. This is an episode that I never thought would happen.
Really?
Yeah, I don't have the love and childhood nostalgia for Space Jam that I think,
well, that's probably for the best,
your generation does, because you're younger than me.
But you do like the people who are in space, like you like Bill Murray, you like the Looney Tunes.
Well, what we're going to do today on PCMC is we're going to talk about both Space Jams. We're going to talk about the original Space Jam from 1996 and the new film Space Jam: A New Legacy from 2021. And here's how it went. I saw Space Jam in 1996 when I was 13 years old. And it was one of the first movies as a little kid or as a 13-year-old where I remember going, I don't think I like this. Like, I want to like it. I see all the elements that I could like, but it's just not coming together for me.
Okay.
I'm seeing Bill Murray there. I'm seeing Dr. Peter Venkman. But if anyone's even giving him direction, he's not taking it. He's clearly just doing whatever the fuck he wants to do.
But now here's the question, though. Now that you've watched it again back to back with the new one, does it stand out as being better?
Oh, yes. Compared to Space Jam: A New Legacy, the original Space Jam is Casablanca.
And it's really sad, too, because if you just saw the trailer for the new Space Jam,
yeah,
there's promising stuff in it. Like, I was actually a little bit excited for it because there's like a whole segment where they're like drawn in traditional animation.
Yeah.
There's parts that like the 3D parts actually look really good. Like when they turn the characters 3D.
Yes.
Some of the scenes of LeBron James and his son actually really work. I think he's actually a better actor than Michael Jordan.
Okay, that was one of my questions. Do you think LeBron is a better actor? I can't come up with an answer for this. I've been thinking about this for 2 days. They might be evenly matched, or there are certain moments. See, neither of them are good actors, but there are moments where Michael Jordan has it, whatever it is. He has star appeal. He may not be a good actor, but God damn it, he's Michael Jordan. And maybe that goes further for me than LeBron James. Because once LeBron James is like in the cartoon world and he's just doing voice stuff, it's like it's over. Whereas when Michael Jordan is hanging out with Bugs Bunny, I feel like these two have chemistry. I could see why this movie was put together based on those commercials.
Well, we'll get back to the commercials, but yeah, it's something I want to get into. But as far as them acting, I think when it comes to Michael Jordan, they knew he wasn't trying to act and worked around it.
Okay.
And yeah. I think that's why. Whereas LeBron, I think you've seen him show up in other things. Like, people loved him in Trainwreck, for example. Mm. And, you know, they say he's one of these guys that, like, if he really wanted to, he could have a whole second act if he played his cards just right. As like a character actor,
like almost like The Rock, like you could do funny stuff, you could do fun stuff. No one's expecting you to do King Lear, but you could have some fun.
Right, exactly, and you know that remains to be seen because obviously he's still playing basketball.
He's still
and
young.
He's still like he was in contention for the MVP award like last year at age 36. So he could play into his like he might be one of the first big all stars to play at that level into his 40s. Like, that's the next benchmark that we're waiting for with LeBron.
See, you're a basketball fan and I am not. So a question that I had that I wanted you to answer for me is this casting, are they analogous? Like, is casting LeBron James, is LeBron James like the current day Michael Jordan? Like, does that make sense? Is there any other current basketball player that you think actually might have been a better pick for the movie?
No, there's that I could say definitively. There's no one who would have been a better pick than LeBron. Like, there's just, you know, you take into account the fact that this has been rumored for years, the fact that nobody has been on the same level as LeBron for as long as LeBron has. Like, this is the guy who the knock on him is that he's been to what is it now? Like 10 finals and only won four. And it's like, but he made it to 10 NBA right. finals. Like in the past, I would say 12 years, in whatever team, like you could pull up the stat sheet at the beginning of the year, pull up the roster, and mm-hmm. whatever team had LeBron on it, you could circle that team and go, yeah, that team's going to the NBA finals this year. Like that's right. a huge feat in and of itself. Not to mention the fact that he does have four finals MVPs.
Right.
He's got, you know, multiple league MVPs. He, you know, yeah, is he going to catch up to Jordan? Probably not. But people need to also stop with this debate of what people do now in basketball is they do ring chasing, where they go, well, you know, Kobe has five rings and, you know, so-and-so had, you know, Dwayne Wade only has three rings. So, you know, therefore they're not better than Kobe. It's like, but it never used to be like that. It used to just be like, nobody ever looked at Larry Bird and was like, well, Larry Bird sucks because Larry Bird only has, you know, three rings to Michael's six.
Right.
So you would never say that Michael Jordan is twice the basketball player that Larry Bird is just because he has twice the ring.
Right. So now it's okay. I get what you're saying. But also doesn't outside of the world of basketball, LeBron James isn't he like very well?
He just became a billionaire as of this week.
Oh, as of this week. But doesn't he do a lot of things for charity or in education and stuff?
Yes. And this is again where people try and knock him because they go, well, you know, he gets a little too political, or, you know, he did a lot to shine light on the Black Lives Matter movement last year.
Okay.
He would do press conferences and wear like a hat that said like Breonna Taylor on it.
Oh, okay.
And people would be like, he was the guy that was singled out by conservative media when they did the whole like, hey, LeBron, you need to shut up and dribble.
No. Well, that's stupid.
and in reality, you could not have like a more better representative for the NBA than a guy like LeBron James, who, like you alluded to, does, you know, pay it forward, has schools back yeah. in his hometown of Akron that he donates tons of money to help get kids out of poverty, you know, helping with after school programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a guy that the narrative is that he left the Cavaliers after like 7 or 8 years of them failing to build around him, basically broke his hometown's heart, went to play with the Miami Heat for 4 years. Then when free agency came up, decided to go back to Cleveland because he was like, you know what? I'm going to answer the call. I'm going to get my hometown a ring. And then got them their first championship in 50-something years.
Vin, we better start talking about cartoons or the PCMC listeners are going to tune out. They're like, what is this shit?
Yeah. Okay. So the main difference to me, to cut right to the heart of the matter,
please,
between the original Space Jam and this one is, yes, both are giant product placements. There's no getting around that.
Right.
But I think when you're really comparing the two apples to apples, the original Space Jam does it with more of a broader focus. Like, there's a very simple story. If you're not paying attention to the product placement, it doesn't beat you over the head. If you're a kid, you can still enjoy it. Whereas this one, you are literally going from planet to planet, and each planet is a different Warner Brothers property.
Like, right.
There's a whole segment in the middle of the movie,
right,
where basically they have to find the rest of the Toon Squad. But unlike the first movie, where it's this sort of vetting out of, hey, we need to find actual NBA players,
right?
Instead, it's, hey, we've got to go to the DC planet.
It's and so find bad. What,
and there are, and again, there are cool moments in it, but the more the movie drags on, the more it just feels like you're watching a YouTube compilation of like some cool commercials. Like
right.
when they go to the DC universe and you see like the Bruce Timm animated like Superman world, it's like, wow, this is really cool. What are they gonna do? And it's just like this really quick like it's just window dressing. It's there to catch your eye.
Exactly. I'm somebody who's, well, first of all, to talk about what you were just talking about, that shot where you see the different planets, that shot is straight up right out of Ready Player One. Like that exact shot of setting up the film and going through the different planets to see the different IPs. Literally, that image is right out of Ready Player One. And I think this film takes a lot from Ready Player One, But and people knock Ready Player One, and you know, I've done two full episodes on the Ready Player One series. But I, the thing about this film, when I say this film, I mean the new film, A New Legacy. I've never seen fan service that felt more empty. I'm not against fan service. I like fan service. This show, I mean, look at the logo for PCMC. Our logo has She-Ra in it and Slimer. And, you know,
but the difference is that
I know what those things are.
Well, no, it's like when I say like, okay, you're bouncing around different planets for the plot of the movie, you could literally hit a random button and like they could have gone to those planets in whatever order they wanted. Like it didn't make a difference.
But that's my thing is there's IP, but then there's it's like flat IP. You know, one of the big differences, if you want to look at both of them in terms of which is funnier, which to me, the 1996 movie is way funnier. Whoever made the new film, nobody cares about Looney Tunes, knows anything about Looney Tunes. None of the characters are doing anything characteristic of Looney Tunes. The way I thought about it was, if you were to compare the two films, they both have a pretty silly, stupid idea, okay? But the 1996 film executes that stupid idea competently. And the 2021 film barely even tries to execute the stupid idea. You know, they're both stupid.
Yeah.
You know, they're both, as you said, they're both products. But at least the 1996 one, the products are the NBA, Michael Jordan, and whatever comes with that, Nike, whatever, and Looney Tunes and all that means. Whereas in
which you know going in, like even as a kid, you know, like, hey, this film's going to be heavy on NBA and it's going to be heavy on Looney Tunes.
Right.
You're not blindsided by like weirdly out of date. Like there's Austin Powers cameos in this movie.
Right. It's not heavy. The new film is not heavy on Looney Tunes or heavy on NBA. You know, so rewatching the original one, something that I found actually very entertaining, and I was like, this actually really works, is all of the B plot of the NBA players who lost their powers, who lost their ability, and like them going to therapy and then like trying to get, you know, Charles Barkley tries to play with like a bunch of school kids.
Yeah, and they're like, get out of here, Charles Barkley, you suck.
It's actually like funny, and it's like the new film doesn't take. It doesn't do any of what it's supposed to be doing, meaning like you have a premise, like do your premise. It in the beginning of the new film, when he goes into the LeBron James is sucked into the Warner Brothers serververse, which makes no sense, but whatever. We'll just hand wave that away. It's like the internet, but of just IP of Warner Brothers stuff. Warner Brothers IP lives in a sort of virtual world.
It's Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's another good analogy. And they have to do this basketball match, and he's like, oh, well, okay, Warner Bros., I'll get King Kong, I'll get Superman. And it's kind of like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, in this film, there's no reason for it to be Looney Tunes. But in the original one, the Looney Tunes are the ones that get the challenge. And then they go, well, okay, well, it's basketball. We should get Michael Jordan. I know that's right, a little
thing.
There's
a logic to it.
Right. And also, you know, like the new movie, what I was excited about was I thought, okay, this makes more sense because it's like this world of digital information. Whereas in the original one, the Looney Tunes world was like deep in the center of the earth, like a different dimension. It kind of didn't make total sense. But watching them both back to back, the original one does make more sense because at least it just commits to its insanity.
Yeah. And again, I think the casting is better. You've got Danny DeVito.
Yes.
You've got the monster. Like it's a Looney Tunes plot.
Right.
That because then we know what requires the Looney Tunes them. Is. Right. Like it's a Looney Tunes plot that weaves Michael Jordan into it. Like, it doesn't start out as a LeBron. It doesn't start out as a Michael Jordan movie that then somehow shoehorns in the Looney Tunes.
Right.
It's Looney Tunes first. Then it's like, okay, why do the Looney Tunes need Michael Jordan? Because they have to play a basketball game. Okay, great. That's the perfect excuse for them to want to get Michael Jordan involved.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But like you said, LeBron James goes into a server where he's got carte blanche to all the Warner Brothers characters. And it's like you said, like, oh, I could get King Kong, I could get the Iron Giant, I could get whoever. And it's like, well, no, I got to get the Looney Tunes.
Right. It, even in this weird little movie that it is, there should be some internal logic. That's the thing. I feel like the new movie, there's something cynical about the new movie in that it feels like nobody gave a shit. Whereas the original one, it feels like people gave a shit. You can feel Ivan Reitman there caring. You can see direction happening. You could see that, you know, in the original one, they're doing Looney Tunes bits. They do callbacks to actual Looney Tunes bits and stuff. Like, even like deep cuts. In the original one, when they're playing the game, the whole audience is deep cut background Looney Tunes characters.
Yeah.
In the new one, it's outside and it's all like really bad Party City costumes of Warner Brothers characters. And like
Mr. Freeze and...
Yeah, look, it's Danny DeVito's The Penguin, but don't look too hard because it's clearly not that.
Right. Weird people they decided to put in the background too. Like,
so weird.
Like
a lot of Batman villains.
A lot of Batman villains for some reason. But like, if you go through, so I've got the actual cameo list that I could pull up.
Right.
Do you want to know the extent?
There's the big one that I want to have give its own section because it deserves its own section.
Okay.
tell me your cameo list.
Okay, give me one second.
Well, one that was in the literally when I was watching the new movie, I went, I know they're not real, but I kind of feel embarrassed for the Flintstones that they're involved in this.
Right.
And they did Viva La Rock Vegas.
They did.
Yeah.
Okay. Warner Brothers cameos and references. Okay. So you've got the places that they go, like Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, there's a Mad Max World cameo.
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
But within the crowd scenes, okay, I'm going to run right through these.
Wait, before you get to the crowd scene, how do you feel about that smoking hot Matrix reference with Granny in the Matrix?
Yeah. You know what? It wouldn't have been as weird if they would actually put out a trailer for this new Matrix movie that we keep hearing about.
Yeah, I know.
This movie that's apparently coming out in like December.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So tell me who's in the crowd scene at the end.
Okay. Pennywise from It.
Yeah.
The Droogs from A Clockwork Orange.
Sure.
The Nun from The Devils. I don't even know what that is.
Okay.
Stripe and other gremlins from Gremlins.
Yeah, that was cool for that 1 second that you saw it.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
RoboCop.
But the thing to know if you haven't seen this film is, they don't take the actual, they don't digitally lift the images from the movies, nor do they get good people to do them. They go to Spirit Halloween with a bunch of extras and go, okay, you want to be Pennywise? All right, there you go, you're Pennywise. Oh, okay, cool. Should I stand way in the back? No, I want you right next to Don Cheadle. You sure you want me right next to him?
There's one that's been going around online. Again, I brought up Mr. Freeze where... It's supposed to be the Arnold Schwarzenegger Mr. Freeze,
yeah.
But it's just like some skinny guy who's like 100 pounds soaking wet.
I know.
It's like, this is not Mr. Freeze.
And they're so close to Don Cheadle.
But okay, so you got Beetlejuice, RoboCop, Yogi Bear and Boo Boo,
mm-hmm.
Dick Dastardly, Muttley and Penelope Pitstop, the Flintstones and Great Gazoo, Top Cat, Scooby-Doo, Shaggy Rogers, Fred Jones, you know, the whole gang. The Jetsons, Jabberjaw, McGilla Gorilla, Captain Caveman, Gloop and Gleep from the Herculoids, that's a deep cut. Okay. Frankenstein Jr. and Buzz Conroy, Space Ghost, Mitor, Yakko, Wacko, and Dot.
Wait, where were Yakko, Wacko, and Dot? Because I was looking for them, and I could not find them.
They were bouncing around. You would have seen them like up in the air. This is a weird one that I hope someone screen caps because I almost don't believe it's in here. Tony Soprano.
Where? Fucking where? No way. See, it's funny. There's so many things, but I feel like whenever they list it off, it's always like Harry Potter and Game of Thrones and Batman. I feel like they say Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, and Batman 10 times.
Those are the ones they go back to.
Right. And none of the Snyderverse stuff. Although
there's a little Snyderverse.
Well, when you see Lola Bunny, she's kind of in the Wonder Woman movie, but it's animated. So it's not the Wonder Woman movie. Whereas like when they find, Granny in the Matrix, it's actually the Matrix.
Yeah.
And they put Granny in it.
So you got Tony Soprano, Gandalf, Frodo, and Gollum.
I think I saw them.
King Kong, the Iron Giant,
right?
Wino and Chitara from Thundercats.
I don't remember seeing them.
Mama Fratelli from the Goonies.
Mama from Mama's Family.
Baby Jane Hudson from Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Get the fuck out of here. Where? Where?
Now, this one's interesting because I want to know which version. Jim West from Wild Wild West. Batman, Robin, Joker, Penguin, Catwoman.
Various versions of them.
Batman 6. Yeah, from the 60s Batman TV. Joker from 89 Batman. Penguin and Catwoman from Batman Returns. Mr. Freeze from Batman and Robin. General Zod, Ursa, and Non from the 78 Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Mego, Michi, and Guanji from Smallfoot. And everyone's favorite, The Mask.
The Mask you could see a lot. Yes, yeah, so, but some of these that you're saying, I did not see at all. It's almost like blink and you miss everything.
Well, it's appealing to the Ready Player One people who, you know, cream their jeans over every little cameo, who are going to buy this on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And go home and freeze frame.
I feel like that film does it better. I feel like that film does it better. In this film, it's just like more is less. And they just keep piling on more, more. And it's just less, less.
Yeah.
You know what actually made me think? A film that kind of does this exact idea, where in the end they go, let's open up all the Warner Brothers IP and go crazy. Lego Batman does that, but way better than they do it here, right?
Yeah, you're not the first person to bring that up. I've heard several people say Lego Batman does this kind of idea better because every time you meet a new character in Lego Batman, or, you know, almost every time, like, they're a part of the plot. They're helping you sort of shepherd the plot along.
Right. And you see a lot of the same people in Lego Batman. You see the Gremlins, you see Wizard of Oz characters. That's another thing. The flying monkeys from the Wizard of Oz are right next to Don Cheadle, and they look horrible. Horrible.
They look bad.
It's like, God damn. Well, there's so many places to go with this. What do you think of Don Cheadle versus Danny DeVito as the villain in the first movie?
I'm going to have to go with Danny DeVito. I think he fits that world better. He was being way more cartoony. He was playing he wasn't playing Danny DeVito. He was playing an actual character.
Right. He was not an original Looney Tunes character, but he was basically a Looney Tunes villain.
Right. And he fit the mold as a Looney Tunes villain. Whereas Don Cheadle just felt like,
I don't know.
Like, hey, here's a something. Here's a modern villain.
I think he's miscast. Because Don Cheadle,
he's played villains,
he's good, but it just, I feel like this villain needed more energy, and I feel like Don Cheadle's trying to give him energy, but it's not coming off.
Don Cheadle's not a cartoon. He can't play cartoonish.
Right. He feels wrong for this. Think about
he's very low energy, Don Cheadle. Like, you wouldn't want him.
Yeah.
For this kind of a role where it calls for a more like maniacal villain.
Right. He doesn't get the scary well, and he doesn't get the when he's trying to be funny well either. So it kind of none of it works really. In the original film, the team of the Monstars is more like the villains. Like, they're in it more than Danny DeVito's character is in it. Whereas in this one, they kind of do the same thing where they take actual basketball players and they turn them into monsters. But Don Cheadle's more the heavy. Also, there's a weird, like, Don Cheadle is hooking the son. And by hooking, I mean he's doing like what Captain Hook does to Peter Pan's son in the movie Hook. Like, run home, Jack.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, if your dad really loved you, he'd be here. He'd be like, it's like, what is this? What are we doing?
Yeah, he's trying to, like, dare I say, seduce LeBron James. It's very weird.
Yeah, it's seduced to the dark side. Getting back,
and I think the NBA cameos, for what they're worth, are completely wasted in this movie. Again, in the original movie,
they're funny.
It felt like they're funny, and the character and they have their essences sort of taken out of them to create these sort of monster versions of themselves,
right?
Which made sense. It was interesting. This one, it's just like, hey, here's Kyrie Irving, and we're going to turn him into like a big monster boss that you got to fight.
Right. Yeah, because the kid because the sun scanned them. I don't know. So one of my big things, like I said before, is I think that they don't get the characters right.
Not at all.
Daffy Duck originally was wacky, but then that was too close to Bugs Bunny. So then they made him like he's a sort of sardonic, sarcastic asshole. And you see that in Space Jam, the original Space Jam. But in this new one, Daffy's just nothing. And even Bugs is nothing. There's nothing Bugsy about Bugs other than him saying, "What's up, Doc?"
Right, and a lot of the characters who aren't Bugs or Daffy get very cringy lines,
and they can all exchange lines,
catchphrases.
Right, none of them are characters, and I know it's easy to go, well, they're how much are they characters in their 1996 film? But at least
I would say in the 96 film, they're distinct. It's like, okay, we gotta have this character in the scene because they've got this ability,
right,
or like they've got to say this line in this movie. And you see it in the trailer. You don't even have to go into the full movie. Like they're doing Fortnite dancing and saying haters gonna hate, like,
right. Like any line can be given to any one of them. They don't do anything that is reflective of anything they did in the original cartoons. It really feels like it was written. It feels like when you watch the original film, like Ivan Reitman and those guys, like they probably really loved the Looney Tunes. There's an actual love there. Whereas in this new film, it feels like the creators don't care about the Looney Tunes or really know anything about the Looney Tunes. There's nothing there.
And I wouldn't be shocked by that because there's that famous story of Joe Dante, who did Gremlins and was a big Looney Tunes fan.
He did Looney Tunes Back in Action.
I was just going to say he did Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Yeah.
Which was a flop because of a lot of studio shenanigans. But he has a famous story, or I think it's like a note that he keeps on his desk.
Yes.
And it's from one of the studio executives who said, "I don't get why the rabbit says, 'What's up, Doc?'"
Right. Who's Doc? Like, can we lose this?
Yeah. Like, can we lose this? Like, why does he say, "What's up, Doc?"
Right. 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 Whoever's involved in now, just they don't. And I don't mean to sound like an old man on his lawn shaking his fist at young people. It's just that, like, I guess going back to what I said before, the 1996 movie does this really stupid, ridiculous idea and just really does it. Whereas this film doesn't really do it. It doesn't, you know, if you go, okay, what is Space Jam? Well, the Looney Tunes and a sort of basketball star play together against cartoons. Okay, that's okay. But that's not really what the second one is.
No, and the funny thing is, because a lot of people are going to look at this and go, well, you know, I guess they're just trying to, you know, bring the Looney Tunes back to some sort of relevancy, or, you know, maybe they just don't know how to make Looney Tunes anymore. But that's not true, because on HBO Max right now,
yeah,
there's new Looney Tunes shorts,
right,
that have come out over the past like year or so. And even before that, there was a Looney Tunes show that was kind of like modern from what, like 5 years ago or so.
Yeah.
And that did a pretty good job.
Right.
Of like modernizing them. So it can be done. It's not a case where like, oh, we haven't been able to crack the code on updating the Looney Tunes. It's like, no, you know, you could do it.
Right, right, right. Well, you know what it is? I think part of the reason is that the original film was banking on your love of Michael Jordan and your love of the Looney Tunes, whereas this new film is banking on your nostalgia of the first film, right? Like the new film is like the main thing that it's drawing you back to is the original Space Jam. Hey, remember Space Jam? Here it is again. Whereas the original film was like, hey, do you remember the Looney Tunes? Well, here's the Looney Tunes doing stuff in a movie.
Yeah, and it's funny because the way the original movie got off the ground is arguably way more of product placement commercialism than the new movie.
Tell us that history. Which is,
you may remember if you're old enough, in the early to mid '90s, there was this trend of putting Looney Tunes on like varsity jackets and like polo shirts. Like you'd see people with like a polo shirt with like Tweety Bird on it instead of the crocodile logo or something, you know, and that spawned.
Iconography made its way into streetwear. You know, really.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it made its way into streetwear. So eventually, that made it into basketball, and then they just said, let's make a movie. Like, let's capitalize on this and just take it to the next logical step. And right. Michael Jordan at that time was just about to come back or had just come back from his first retirement playing baseball. So they sort of had this built-in storyline. And that's another thing, just as a complete sidebar, to point out that when people try and compare, like, oh, LeBron doesn't deserve this because he hasn't hit the heights that Michael hit. Well, when the original Space Jam came out, Michael only had 3 championships.
Mm.
So, like, let's not get it twisted. And again, like, let's not ring chase to begin with. But yeah, the original was totally commercialized based on like urban streetwear that just involved Looney Tunes.
And there were these commercials, like actual television spots
with Bugs and
right, and Michael. He was Hair Jordan, and Michael was Air Jordan. And then there was another one where, like, they're like on the moon. No, they're on Mars. Marvin the Martian is there. There were, you know, from these commercials, you know, it kind of grew, and it, you know, that's fine. Let's okay, you know what? Let's all right. Since I teased it before, let's go to what I think is the most puzzling cameo, troubling cameo of the new film, which is Rick and Morty.
A lot of people are talking about this Rick and Morty cameo.
So at one point, you see, like, they're like in a dome or whatever, and the Tasmanian devil, like, he's jettisoned out of space and he hits the dome. And then behind him, you see Rick and Morty in their flying space car. And this is the real voice of Rick and Morty, who's Justin Roiland, also co-creator of the show. Rick is like, hey, we're done doing tests on your badger thing. And then Morty says something like, oh, I cannot see what I saw, which is whatever that means. And then Rick's like, he's your problem now, dum-dums, and flies away. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, cool, Rick and Morty. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, that's weird, right? Because the week that this movie came out, Rick and Morty season 5 is on. And the episode for the week that this came out was Morty's mom works at a horse hospital. And they've got like a mound that jerks the horses off so they could breed them. So Morty.
So basically, not to cut you off, but basically kids who don't know Rick and Morty, but do go see Space Jam.
Right.
Are going to be like, who were those funny fellows?
Yeah.
Let's they're on Cartoon Network. I'll watch that.
Right. Oh,
and then they're just going to see horses getting jerked off.
Right. And Morty, Morty going and volunteering at his mother's hospital so he can fuck the horse machine. And then, of course, an experiment goes wrong and the world is being taken over by giant sperm monsters. And it's like this in the same week. And a lot of people are like, you know, it's jarring to hear Rick say dum-dum instead of like something more vulgar. But, you know, I think AV Club had a good article about this written by William Hughes. And it's called, that Space Jam cameo isn't Rick and Morty selling out. It's Rick and Morty being sold. And he talks about how, like, Rick and Morty, you do see them in commercials and stuff, but there's always a meta self-awareness, which is part of the brand of Dan Harmon, who's the other co-creator of Rick and Morty. Like, they do funny Wendy's commercials. Like, there's a Wendy's commercial where Morty's sleeping and Rick comes in the room and he's like, Morty, we're doing a Wendy's commercial. And then all the Wendy's food comes in and starts, like, looking through all of Morty's shit. And he's like, what's going on, Rick? Rick, they're stealing stuff. They're stealing stuff. And it's insane. And there's none of that meta winkiness. There's none of that. Even like when you think about like the Simpsons opening where they do a Rick and Morty couch gag where they
murder the Simpsons.
Yeah. And he's like, Morty, you killed the Simpsons, Morty. They're a beloved TV family, Morty.
They're goo. The baby, Morty. Look at right. The baby.
Like, you killed the baby one, Morty. Even that, like, has more of a wink. We know that this is weird. Whereas in this new movie, it's like there's no looking at the camera and being like, isn't this fucking weird that we're in a kid's movie? This is Rick and Morty.
No, but that's
filthy.
But that's the difference. Again, that's the main difference between this movie and the original, which is the original was not afraid at every turn to sort of wink at itself.
Right.
And go like, come on, Michael, you got to get back in the game. You got to eat your Wheaties, put your Nikes on, like, do this.
Right, right.
Whereas this one is just like, hey, you like Rick and Morty? Well, here they're here. Like,
right, exactly.
Like the Iron Giant, there he is.
Right, right, right. Yeah, in the original movie, there's a scene where Bugs Bunny and Daffy have to go into Michael Jordan's house and steal his sneakers because he needs them to play. And there was, at the time, a slightly controversial part of that scene where Daffy Duck is like, hey, do you ever see any residuals off all these toys they do of us? And Bugs is like, never. And he's like, yeah, we got to get new agents. We're getting screwed. And people at the time are like, ah, oh, we don't like that Daffy said screwed. But at least there was a self-aware comedy there. It feel, you know how like they've been doing that thing where they'll train an AI to like write a chapter of a book? Like they, oh, they yeah. had that AI where they put like every all the Harry Potter books into the system and then like got it to write a new chapter of a Harry Potter book. That's how this movie feels. It feels like, all right, let's put in Looney Tunes and a bunch of other shit and then see if it automatically makes a movie. And it's not going to make any real sense, but it's going to look like it. That's what it feels like. It's also empty.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. There are moments in this movie, but when you watch it all together, it feels so hollow.
It really does. It's, I mean, in some ways it felt joyless. You know, when I was watching it with Jen and we were halfway through, we were like, oh God, this is a slog. Come on already. And it's over 2 hours, by the way, which should be a goddamn crime.
Right. They need to cut 20 minutes at least off of that movie.
Yeah. The all of the stuff with like his agent and his wife outside of the, there's plenty of stuff that I feel like easily should have been just cut right the fuck out of that movie.
Also, but the basketball game itself goes on way too long.
Too long. Right. In the original movie, though, it doesn't feel that way. It didn't feel like a slog. You know, they get
It felt like you're moving from, because again, like it was designed, the original one was at least designed as a movie. You have several different, like even just offhand, I could run you through the plot points right now. Like you got the Looney Tunes stuff at the beginning where they, get challenged by Danny DeVito's character and the Monstars.
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, we've got to find Michael Jordan. Now we got to convince him to play, but we got to get other stars. So we got to deal with that. We got to find Michael's shoes. Then we got to play a basketball game. Now we're losing the basketball game. Now we got to pull out a win in the basketball game. Like you could break it up into different parts and know what's going on.
Right. Whereas in the new movie, LeBron James goes for a meeting at Warner Brothers and they're not telling him, hey, we want to do a movie with you in it. They're saying, hey, we want to use AI to insert you into movies that already exist. Whatever right. the fuck that means.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Just what a mess. here's a fun game at home. One of these movies, now remember, one of these movies came out in 1996, and the other one just came out this year, 2021. One of these movies contains a scene where Porky Pig raps. Now, which movie do you think it is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Porky Pig rap scene in the middle of this movie is...
It's the 2021 one.
It can only be described as unfortunate.
Yeah, it kind of comes out of nowhere, and it's kind of a rap battle, but against nobody. And it's like, again, this would have fit more in the 90s movie.
It gave me flashbacks to the rapping dog in that Titanic movie.
I don't know. What are you talking about? What movie is that?
Oh, my God. Have you not? Okay. PCMC diversion alert.
Sure.
I'm going to send you a clip right now. Because this needs to be seen. So back in the 90s or early 2000s when Titanic fever was happening and everyone wanted a piece of that James Cameron pie.
Who didn't? Yeah.
There was this movie, I believe it was made in Italy, but it was in English, poorly dubbed, I think. And it was about the Titanic, but in it, the Titanic does not sink. It gets saved. And there's like animals aboard.
Okay.
And there's all these like musical numbers, but they're so random. So remember, the Titanic obviously is a historical event.
Yes.
And it takes place in like 1919. So
I thought it was 1912.
Well, whenever it is, whichever time, that wouldn't matter. So I'm going to send you this clip right now on Discord.
Sure.
And this is a scene from this movie.
Oh, okay.
That takes place in 1912.
Titanic, the animated movie. Boy, that is limited animation. Well, that looks just like American Tail, like Fievel. It looks like that's kind of what it's trying to be. The first comment made me laugh. The first comment on YouTube is, "My grandmother was a survivor of the Titanic, and this is exactly what she said happened." It's always great when the top comment is better than the thing you're watching. Oh, wow. I'm watching the rap. Wow, this is bad. It's funny. It's funny that I've never heard of this before.
Mike is watching a dog in basketball shorts and a boombox with very bad animation, very like loopy, like knockoff Don Bluth.
Yeah,
singing about party time on the Titanic.
I might say though, it's better than the Porky rap in Space Jam: A New Legacy. You know, the not that this means all that much, but you know that Space Jam: A New Legacy currently on Rotten Tomatoes has a 29% approval, where the original has stayed at 44% for quite a while, for a long time. So even critics who were not kind to the original film, tend to hate this one more.
No, and I would argue that because, again, you know, they're probably taking a lot of reviews from that time. I would bet if you used a lot of current reviews, like retrospective reviews, that number might actually be a little higher. I would say it would probably be in like the 70s.
I bet there was a lot of mixed reviews at the time, because I know it was it was sort of a critical flop. But I don't know how much you remember when you're a child. Who knows if you could trust those?
I just remember like there was a big camp. Like I remember McDonald's
being
toys.
A big deal, right? Don't I mean it felt like.
No, I had the McDonald's toys. I saw it in the theater. Like, it was a big deal.
You know, one big difference. I watched the original one last night, and then the very first scene is "I Believe I Could Fly" by R. Kelly.
Yeah, that would not happen. That's getting deleted from the WB servers. That's
right. R. Kelly is a horrible monster. It's a great song, and it was a huge hit at the time. And there's no, and you know what? In general, I think the whole soundtrack to the original movie is good. There's a lot
that
of fun
soundtrack,
shit.
That soundtrack CD was like a genuine hit. It might have gone platinum. Like it was.
Yeah,
hits on it.
Yeah, like even the song that's in the opening credits is really fun. Or the remake of "Fly Like an Eagle." Like there's a lot of good shit in it.
Barry White singing "Basketball Jones."
Yes, in that really funny montage with the basketball players trying to. Find their way in the world after losing their talent. Yeah, the I don't know. I mean, in general, soundtracks are not as important as they were in the 90s, because
but like to a lot of people who were around at the time, like you play those first couple seconds where it's like, hey, everybody get out. It's like, oh, you know what's coming.
Well, I forgot how fun the opening credits are, because you see the opening scene and then you see like and it says Michael Jordan, and then Bugs Bunny. And it's like, yeah, I'm excited for this now.
Yeah.
Do you think if not for R. Kelly's downfall, they would have found a way to slip that song into this film?
Ooh, I feel like they might have. I don't know. I feel like they might have remixed or remade it.
Okay, that makes sense. You do see at one point at the end of the new film, the monster.
You see a digital R. Kelly in the background.
No, Barry, you got it. It's a real blink and you miss it.
Yeah, that's why you get the 4K.
Yeah, always go for 4K, kids. Always. behind Don Cheadle is R. Kelly in what he's wearing in that interview he did with Gayle King. Oh, my God.
I'm fighting for my life.
I know. The way he tries to make himself a victim in that is it's classic.
But he tries to make himself a victim by standing up and punching things that aren't there inches away from Gayle King's face. And she's just like, Robert, please.
Come on now. You know what worked in this movie? Something I genuinely enjoyed. The scene where they're like, hey, everybody, it's Michael Jordan. And it's Michael B. Jordan.
He's Michael B. Jordan.
That I genuinely got a laugh at.
That was a good bait and switch.
And then Daffy Duck is like, I thought it was Michael A. Jordan. I was like, that's good. That's genuinely good.
That was a genuine laugh. And it's like, that is one of the things hanging over the movie the whole time. Is you're like, is Michael Jordan going to show up?
Yeah, why do you think he isn't, even as a cameo?
Oh, I think he's envious. I don't think he has anything against LeBron personally, but I think Michael Jordan would not let himself be in a movie that is not helmed by himself. Like, he would not do a Space Jam sequel with someone else as the top banana. I mean, this is the same guy who basically did the last, you know, allowed ESPN and Netflix to do the Last Dance documentary last year because he felt that LeBron's legacy was catching up to his.
Oh, wow. Really?
So he wanted to remind people. So because
Michael Jordan that, not a good guy? I know that's a tough question to answer.
He's a complicated figure. He takes things personally. Like that whole meme about like, and
I took that personally.
Like that's like, go watch that documentary, all 10 hours of it. Like in every segment.
Would I enjoy it even as not a basketball fan?
Yes. I would say if you give it a chance and go in with an open mind, you will find things to like about it because it's more about the personalities on those teams and the stories behind them, and especially when you get to the Dennis Rodman part.
Mm.
Like, that's interesting. And the Scottie Pippen part is interesting, too, because Scottie signed a deal early on in his career, and everyone involved, even in management, told him, don't sign this because you're injury, because he was injury prone.
Yeah.
So they were like, you sign this deal, like, we're not going to renegotiate for, you know, the next, like, 8 years or whatever. And he was like, well, I'm injury prone. I need to take this. So he signed a deal in, like, the early 90s. And then once the Bulls got hot and started winning championships and everyone was like renegotiating their contracts, he was upset because like they shut him out. They were like, no, we told you not to take that deal. So like he was making less money on the team. Like he's the number two player in the world and he was making less money than like certain bench warmers in the NBA.
You know, I looked up Michael Jordan on IMDb and he never tried acting again.
No.
But that's kind of surprising. I thought I was going to pull up his page and see like the year after Space Jam, some shitty movie I haven't heard of. And then like some movie where he plays a cop that I never heard of. And then basically puttered out. But he didn't even try again.
No, he knows where his bread's buttered. He knows that like he was in that movie to be Michael Jordan.
And he's charming in it. He's good in it. I don't know if he's a good actor, but he's good in it. You know who else is good in it? Bill Murray.
Oh,
I forgot how good Bill Murray's in it. And he's definitely, I don't know if he's making up his own lines or if he's saying the lines, but saying them his own way and not taking direction.
He's just having fun. It feels like someone told him what to do.
Yeah.
And he was like, I got this. All right, we're going to do that. Like, and then he was just ready to go.
Yeah. He's having so much fun. Like when they're like, oh, we need another player. And he's like, da, 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 da. Here I am. It's like, I was like, wow, this genuinely is funny.
Yeah. Wayne Knight is funny in it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. There's, you know, compare Wayne Knight to, his like manager friend, LeBron James's manager or whatever he's supposed to be in the new film. It's like, that guy scenes aren't even good.
Yeah.
Trying to think what, here, let me put it this way. Well, what changes do you think could be made to Space Jam: A New Legacy to make it better? If you had your say of how we could fix this.
I would say if you're like hellbent on doing the conceit of they're jumping into a server, I would have liked, instead of jumping through all of these Warner Brothers properties, that they instead jumped through a bunch of Looney Tunes cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe like focused in on like, hey, like now we're in a short, like we have to go through all these different eras of Looney Tunes to find the other cartoons. Like we've got to pull Daffy Duck out of, you know, Hair Today, Gone Tomorrow. Like we got to pull, you know, Michigan J Frog out of One Froggy Evening. Like,
yeah.
We got to go through all these Looney Tunes. Maybe
well,
like
show
they got to pull someone out of
the
original Space
Jam. In the new film, the monster from Hair Raising Hair is in it. But does anyone know who he is? Like, show that cartoon.
Show that big red son of a bitch.
What do you think Zendaya is bringing to the table? I know I just asked that like Jiminy Glick.
God, oh, Jiminy Glick. Surprised he wasn't a cameo in this.
Well, you know why he's on my mind? Jiminy said,
I want to know the answer to this so bad. Why is Jiminy Glick on your mind?
Well, the kids, the Gen Z kids over on TikTok discovered him. So there's a lot of Jiminy Glick all over TikTok now.
Really? So there's a lot of like Martin Short doing his like high voice.
Yeah, it's all.
Let me ask you a question.
It's from that show. That show that he did, I guess, on Comedy Central, whatever it was on.
Yeah.
It was, he basically wanted to just, it was like the, what's his name?
It's like Byron Allen.
I was just going to say, like he would just go to fucking press junkets And probably people's agents would be like, okay, next up is actually Martin Short doing a bit. So just go with it.
Yeah. Got Byron Allen.
Yeah.
Coast of Comics Unleashed.
To quote Norm MacDonald, I've never seen comics more leashed.
I love, oh God, Byron.
God, that's
Byron
what we need in this movie. Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, we need Byron Allen. Oh yeah, we need
Norm MacDonald, not Byron Allen.
We need Byron Allen interviewing everyone at a press junket and acting like he's their best friend. Like, do you remember when that would come on like at 2 a.m?
Yeah.
The show was literally called like Interview.
Yeah.
And but if you didn't know any better, you would see the opening credits and they'd be like, tonight on Interviews, Harrison Ford, James Gandolfini, Tom Cruise. It's like, whoa, what's going on? How'd this guy get all these guests?
Right.
And then you watch it for 2 seconds and you're like, oh, he just shows up to all the press junkets.
Right. He gives them a warm welcome where he tries to act like we know each other. And then maybe he'll make a reference to the last time they met. And then the polite celebrity will just be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be like, so Harrison, last time we spoke, you were renovating a house. And Harrison Ford's like, yeah, I was.
I guess, if you say so. You know, part of me wonders if Warner Brothers just doesn't have enough good stuff. Like, you think about, like, Ready Player One. Like, there was a lot of...
It's the same stuff.
Yeah, I guess. Well, but, like... You something like Disney, they've got a ton of shit, right? Like Wreck-It Ralph, they're Disney, so you could have Star Wars in there. You could think about the second Wreck-It Ralph movie. You've got stormtroopers. You've got every princess from the Disney movies. There's just not enough. I think there's not enough like bankable IP over there at Warner Brothers. It's just like Batman and Game of Thrones.
Right.
It's, I don't know. It's not enough to, it makes you feel like, I understand the instinct to try to do it the way that they do it. Cause it's very,
should have just kept it focused, kept it more small scale.
Right.
Stick to the Looney Tunes, stick to the basketball, maybe do more with the NBA involvement.
What do you think about, in this film, the new film, they, It's not like real basketball they're playing. Like, they're getting points based on like style, and which like it, there's a whole weird like thing there of like LeBron James is always like, oh, the fundamentals. And then like, but like,
and they're like, you can't, like, the whole crux of the movie, like the lesson is you gotta like not take yourself so seriously and focus more on the style.
It's kind of like in the original film. At the end, when Jordan like makes his arm stretch like a cartoon and he dunks the ball that way and he realizes he could have a cartoon logic. It's like they took that and tried to make it into a moral plot, like a moralizing thing.
Because it doesn't work in this movie, because in the original, like, he's becoming a cartoon so he can make the play. In this one, it's just like, okay, so you don't even have to make a play. Like, you could just do whatever the fuck you want.
Well, in this one, it's like, his son, the whole story with his son is like, you don't have fun. You need fun in your life. I don't know. It's hard to track. It's
a confusing, hollow mess of a movie.
Yeah. I want to go back to Zendaya. I like her. It's just and I feel this way with a lot of animated features. When they go and get like a major actor to just do a voice, it's like, all right, you're paying, like, people do like her. She's good. I think she's a great actress. I really like her, actually. But to have her be the voice of Lola Bunny, as opposed to the voice actress who did it originally, like, what are you gaining from that? Like, who, you know what I mean? Like,
no, you're literally gaining, like, you're literally paying for the name. It's like when you buy, it's like a lot of these companies that buy real estate in Times Square. Like, for a while, there was like, oh, you know, you go to the Barnes & Noble in you know, Union Square or wherever in the middle of Manhattan. And it's like, and you always hear about, oh, it loses money, but it's basically there as a billboard to get you to like go to the website.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Like you're paying for the Zendaya name so that kids will be like, oh, Zendaya's in this.
Not since Justin Timberlake played Boo Boo in the Yogi Bear movie has it been a more what casting.
Great things come in bears.
You bet they do. Vin, thank you so much for being here. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave the PCMC audience with? Or
yeah, I would say go back. If you're interested in this new Space Jam, don't pay $14.99 like I did for HBO Max. Just go back and watch the original.
Yeah.
Go buy it on Amazon or something. Like, go watch. Because I think if you haven't watched it in a while and you think back and you're like, was that actually a good movie? Was it just really stupid? The answer might just be both. The answer might be that, that you might enjoy yourself.
Yeah, you know, typically I like films when I'm a dumb kid and then I grow up and I have a much more discerning critical taste. And I go, it wasn't that good. But this was the rare occasion where when I saw the original Space Jam, I was disappointed by it. But watching it now as a 37-year-old man, I was like, oh, this is fun.
It reminded me of when I went back a couple years ago and watched Good Burger.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, this is actually like, this actually holds up. This is really like silly and funny in a good way.
Yeah.
And there's
like
a couple, and there was even like a couple really good, like mature jokes in it.
And I know you're always saying that you think Dan Schneider has a bad rap and people should leave him alone. You were just saying off air that you think Dan Schneider.
Look, just because Dan Schneider got off on the wrong foot doesn't mean that.
Oh, come on now. On that note, Google it. You know what?
I don't know if you should Google.
Don't Google that.
If you're a kid, don't Google.
Don't, please.
Actually, if you're an adult, nobody Google.
Yeah. Or go to an Apple store, Google it there, and leave it in that computer. Vin Forte, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
PCMC is a podcast about all pop culture ephemera, from movies to TV shows to toys to video games to comic books to every nerdy thing in between. We come out every single Wednesday. If you're new to the show and you want to know what we're about, just go up on the feed and check out the starter pack episode. It is a perfect jumping on point for PCMC.
Yeah. Now I have a rare PCMC follow-up question.
Oh, okay.
Did you ever, I was listening to the Zelda episode
with
Bill Gagliardi. Did you in fact go back and play more Zelda?
I did not. I'm sorry to say.
Sorry, Bill.
I've betrayed everyone. Most of all, you, the listener.
You're a fraud.
We end every episode by saying
go bye-bye.